Good morning, sisters. Well, we wind up a wonderful book today, Ephesians, coming to the very end, and there's a lot to be done. So I'm going to preach it today, but we need to pray. Let's go before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the fellowship of saints, for the family you've given us on earth and in heaven. Lord, that many more mothers and sisters and children were given to us when we followed you than what we would have had without you. And we're so grateful. Lord, I ask as we look at this last part of this letter from Paul, written by the Holy Spirit, for all time, for us to be warriors, we women, Lord, to be warriors, to be prepared to stand and prepared to pray. Lord, we ask for your viewpoint. We ask for your Holy Spirit to impress into our very lives the truth from this text, from the throne, that you would have for us, Lord, to walk in, open our eyes to things we have not seen before. And Lord, as always, we pray that Jesus would be glorified in this. Amen. We finished last week with 6:9, finishing all these relationships of husband and wife, and children to parents, honoring, and finally slaves to masters, which today would be more employees to employers. But the truth being to do our work, as Ann pointed out, in reverence for Christ, that there will be rewards for doing things unto the Lord. That it isn't the job itself that's as important as who we're doing the job for. This is a big distinction between how the world looks at what's important. We look at the jobs as being important, and then who does them, and we pay them according to those jobs. But in the biblical sense, it's who we're serving, and out of that, the rewards come. And it's a very different picture. It's a great word for us in a time where, you know, we live in a very different time in history with the rise of feminism. Some of that has been positive. Some of that has been negative. But this getting our own and standing and wanting importance of degree or all the things that can be written after our names, it's something we have to resist in the sense of where our personhood and our identity comes from. And that's important as we move into today's text, because he's going to be speaking of exterior protection over an interior life. And the interior life is to be lived based on these other premises, in relationship and in submission, reverent submission to Christ and one another. There was a wonderful book in the 70s, Randy had, he's a Christian book reader, I'm not much of one, but he reads them like crazy, like popcorn, and this one was called Velvet Covered Brick. And he loved that name for leadership, that it was strong and something you could build on, but it wasn't abrasive, and it wasn't showy, it wasn't loud. It was trying to do the job in the behind the scenes, a different kind of leadership. So let's hear the word of the Lord. We are in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, he begins, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now that is a command. If you're following that way of Bible study, of underlining your commands, this is one of them, and circle your promises. I say this to you again. Some people have teased me saying, you always say that's your method. Don't you have anything more than just underline the, you know, it's a good one, you all. It's a really good one. Don't underline everything. Underline the commands. And then go back and circle those promises. And when you're in a day and you need, it'll be very clear to you. And you go, well, I just don't know what the Lord's will is in this. Really? Well, just open that thing up. And you're going to go through and you're going to see this one. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Chrissy referenced holding the last knot on the rope and the Lord's hand underneath. Sometimes we get there. Isn't that a great picture? But, you know, we're to be strong in him and in belief. The marriage of our faith in who he is, all of it is gift, both who he is and the faith. But we are given the liberty to exercise it. We were truly saved to be whole, to exist and give thanks. Yes, to have opinion and exercise it in strength and in humility, but in the might of the Lord, according to what His will is and the ways in which He walks. Our lives are gifts from Him, and we give them back. It's not that we become worthless or value ourselves less. It's that we value one another more. If you do not value yourself and what you have in the Lord, you will not value other people. There will not be a golden rule premise to say, I will love you like I would want to be loved. You have to know yourself in that. I'm not seeking you on an adventure to find yourself. You know, we did that in the 60s, and none of us were in California. So, I mean, you can't go seek for yourself. Our identity is hidden in Christ. So when we exercise strength, being strong in the Lord, it's in His promises that we stand on. We looked at this a couple years ago in 2 Peter 1. To partake of the divine nature was to believe and trust in the divine promises of God. The commands are a thing that we stand in, but the promises are what we rely on in Him and in His strength. What does He promise us in the situation that we're in? To be with us, to never leave us, to be nigh unto those that are of a broken heart, to fill us with the Holy Spirit, to never leave us or forsake us. Beautiful, beautiful promises that help us to be strong and realize we are deeply valued. The cross is the price of that that God paid. I sort of probably erroneously, I don't know how to Facebook very good. Are y'all into Facebooking? I'm terrible at it because I act like my bossy self on Facebook. People just say things and I just go right along and talk like we're in conversation. And I realize later, oh, I think all the people they knew just read that. And I'm not really sure that, but yesterday one of my friends from Florida had a quote on how grace was absolutely free. We could do nothing to earn it, and grace didn't cost us anything. It was absolutely free. And I answered back and said, how about to the Father? You think it was free to the Father? I don't know how the Facebook's going to take it. But, you know, didn't this cost God everything for us to have this grace? That's the premise of the love that we have, that our lives are based on, is His valuing of the truth and the love of His heart between the Trinity towards His creation. We were His idea, and so was the redemption. And our receiving of it, yes, it's gift, but it's choice too. It's both. It's destiny and it's choosing. If that were not so, what we just read in terms of being rewarded for following Him wouldn't make any sense. Yes, it matters if we show up with our hearts and our intentions to follow. So first is this command. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. This same power is what raised Jesus from the dead. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the spiritual realms. I think this surprised me today for the first time, in the sense that I've studied this many times and taught it in retreats. But this line really caught me. Listen, in this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Suddenly I thought, whew, somehow I pictured them like down below. I didn't really picture the clash in the heavenlies still going on. Interesting, isn't it? This is a war that God is fighting with His angels. He has won it positionally in Christ, but it isn't over till all the enemies are made His footstool, and then He will come. But there's a lot still going on that we are sort of God's prize. We are His, not sort of, we are His prize, His possession. And we are the ones that get to His heart. And so the enemy goes after us to get at him. It isn't just, okay, this is a battle about you being a better person. This is about a much bigger scheme that you belong. It's, if you can imagine this, somebody trying to get to your children in order to hurt you, what a horrible thing that would be. I mean, you'd be just, how mad does this make God? Mad. There is a battle that we would become after. And there are restrictions around us. But he's saying, get ready. You're going to be slapped on your sunburn. Put the armor on. It's one thing, you've seen people be slapped or hit, or you've been hurt when you're just totally unprepared for it. And you're more hurt in some ways, if you know, there are accidents that you're more relaxed, you might not get hurt. But many times you're hurt and you weren't suspecting it. What could have protected you from it? And accidents happen, we're in a fallen world. But he's speaking of the spiritual realm here, to be alert and to cover ourselves with armor. So I want to start back with this verse, because underneath this armor, just a paragraph I want to say here, what's underneath the armor? Our body, soul, mind, and spirit. Our whole personality made in the image of God. The parts of this armor are going to cover different parts of ourselves, and they have direct meaning as to what part of the body they're covering. This is repeating other scripture. This is the only place the armor is mentioned. But we are whole people. And inside the commands I talked about underlining say things like this: put on the mind of Christ. So underneath this helmet we're going to speak about is this determination to have God's mind in something rather than our own. Put on the heart of compassion. So we say, okay, underneath where I'm protecting is a living, vital relationship with God. The armor is not to keep us from God. The armor is to keep us in battle against that which would have us enter into temptation. Every one of us are susceptible and vulnerable to sin and to being misled and deceived, even though we don't want to be. Like in your homework, that was a surprise to me. The passage they used as going deeper was the Garden of Gethsemane and the temptations of Jesus in prayer and warning Peter, James, and John, be in prayer, wake up, pray. Your flesh is weak, your spirit's willing. Pray you won't enter into temptation. There's a sense that we are whole beings made in Christ, and we are vulnerable to our own flesh and being enticed away, but also we're vulnerable to thinking wrong things, feeling wrong things based on wrong premises. So knowledge is important, to go deep in knowledge in your head, deep in compassion, your feet to follow. You can't say you love your brother and peace be warmed and walk by him and leave him hungry and cold. So there are actions underneath. So what he's referencing, Paul's not speaking to that right now, but I just want you to see her. She's you. She's a redeemed woman of the Lord. And on top of you, precious to the Lord and filled continually with the Holy Spirit, also a command. Keep in step with him. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Confess your sins that you might be free. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a constant walking and being. All of that is underneath. But now look at this armor, because the position, the verb here to stand is, and you saw this in your little definition, is a military term for braced for battle. It isn't just to stand like this. You know, your good teachers would tell you to stand up straight and get in line. There's that kind of stand up. But it isn't even that stand up. It's this one. Okay? I mean, I can feel it here. I ought to get you all to do it. I've done this on retreats, had people act every piece of this out. It's a very active piece of scripture. You should do this at home. Get up and act out. Feel it, every piece of this. So you're standing. This is what he wants you to put on. Now listen to this again. Put on the full armor of God. That means don't just leave a piece off now, because the very piece you leave off is the hole the flaming dart's going to go in. So the flaming dart are all the accusations of the evil one. Some of them are true. That's the problem with the enemy. He's the accuser of the brethren. And so you begin to think about what he's, you know, you start down that path instead of the faith. So now listen, we're going to start with the top. Put on the full armor so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now I want to highlight this word before the armor, schemes. This means a full out plan that has been planned. Think of a whiteboard, those of you that are organized. And you were going to do this first and this second and arrive at this. There are schemes against us. It isn't just, oh, well, they're a fatty. If we throw chocolate, the battle's over. No, no, no. It's not that simple. If it were, we'd have a lot more success. It's not that simple. There are schemes against us, and when you fall into them, our temptation is to question God when a scheme has been plotted against. You've thought you've done this, you prayed about that, this happened, and then this happened. And you're like, wow, this is not the conclusion I thought would come from everything that was going on. This is not it. There's a scheme to deceive. This is the deceiver. Deception is a terrible thing because you can think you're as right as rain when you're right in the middle of it. It can feel right, look right, seem right, and then there you are, and you look back and you go, I was deceived. Eve was right when she said that. I was deceived by the serpent. Yes, she was. I think the reason that she is held accountable later in Scripture is not, I mean, she did have Satan deceiving, but who did Adam have? His wife, whom he trusted. So the scheme went through the one whom he could have leaned on the most, led him. So this relationship breakdown is hard. But the enemy has schemes. So underline this because it's important for you to put on this full armor. Because we don't want to worry about what the scheme is. There's no direction here of saying, so since he does, sit with a bunch of your friends and figure out what it'll be. That's not it. He does not want you to entertain the evil, to dialogue with the evil. He wants you separate from it and ready. So now we lead into it. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. These are the fallen angels and Satan himself. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Now, this is talking about, if you know anything about battle, about the front. That in a battle, you have to keep taking territory, and then you protect the territory you've taken, and then you move forward again. I think the rash of movies we've had in the last 20 years of war, I'm thinking of Braveheart, or some of those, you think, oh my gosh, people are just completely nuts, or even The Patriot, where the Revolutionary War, and they would just stand up, fire. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh. I mean, I would be such a coward. Every time I watch them, I'd be like, whoop, to the back of that line. No questions about it. I mean, I would not be a good warrior. Not at all. It makes no sense to me. None. I mean, it's like, if you had any sense, you'd head for the hills. Nothing could be worth this, okay? But that's not true in spiritual warfare. And being a warrior in spiritual warfare, the stakes are actually much higher than physical death. They're about leaving legacies behind us of honor and integrity and love. Those will be attacked, particularly women, you all, because we are, as it was said this morning, that I don't want to just say mood setter, peace setter. You're the one that brings that equilibrium that causes good memory. Sometimes you'll meet people later and say, oh, I have no memory. I have no memory of this, no memory of that. And I think, ooh, it's not just a mental thing. Because we were made to have lots of memory that helps with the next thing. We are made with smell and all of this. And I can go off on a whole sermon on that. Our whole generation is being robbed of that right now with technology. Because you can be in three places at once and not really in one place. So space and time are disappearing. They're fixed things in the universe, and they are about gone because we are always doing this now. So more important than ever is the real, the human real, the contact, the things that were made that we were to partake of and participate in, the good of reason, the good of good conversation, the place to be people and human. We bring this. And what we bring. So our battles are going to be to get and attack us a lot in those. Now, some of your battles may be and will be in other areas too. I'm picking this one today because it's in context of what we just studied. Relating those valuable relationships to God. Look out, he's saying. Finally, put this on. These relationships aren't easy. They take determination and standing and vying and being willing to forgive and reach conclusions so you can forgive. It's worth that. So let me go back to this. We're standing This whole thing is the stand, and at the end of this line, in battle, we've taken a certain territory in Christ. Now be prepared to stand and hold the territory. There's a place of protecting that area of influence the Lord has given to you to be responsible for. Why do I say this? In praying for my children, you all, this is so important to remember. Because sometimes you think, well, I mean, I'm just so selfish. I just pray for my family all the time. Get over it. Pray for your family all the time. Because that's your area. And if you do that job well, there will be something behind you with them. It is very important to be very wide awake to the area of influence the Lord has given you in and be diligent in it. Because it is valuable. We think it's just the people around. It's not. It's all the people that they are too. And I don't mean just gospel. I mean the being in relationship with Christ. So you're holding a territory and taking a stand against the deceptions and the schemes that will come. Again, not analyzing them, but simply being prepared. Now look at the genius of the preparation. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The belt of truth is all the truth about God and the truth about who we are in Him. And hearing a Jewish teacher teach some years ago, he explained this. He's from Hebrew University. And he said what this meant was is a big sash that was wrapped. And when a man was going to work or fight or plow, he reached down and touched the floor and grabbed the hem of his robe from behind and pulled it up and tucked it into that belt so that he had bloomers. Okay, so suddenly is this picture not of standing, we don't need to be beautiful. This is a warfare. The truth equips us to stand where nothing hinders, where we are prepared for the onslaught. Truth is truth, you all. Truth is so important because any lie that we embrace and we have several generations down of it, we're just easy pickings for the enemy with deception. Because we've started at A and ended up at G instead of at Z. They sounded like they were the same thing. But it isn't knowledge alone. Truth is not just knowledge. Knowledge are facts about the truth. Different kinds of knowledge, different kinds of truth. The truth that is Christ, He is the truth, the way, and the life, is the absolute meaning of I am, that God is beautiful, whole, holy, our Savior. That is the truth. What's true about God is what Eve forgot. The enemy was able to get to her because of saying, you know, did God really say you couldn't? And then he over-exaggerated it. It was a simple deception. But she did not go back to the truth of what she knew about God. She went into the truth about the fruit. She completely went off track to what the truth about God is. So this is a very important piece. We put the truth on and it buckles us up. It holds it all together. And it's also protecting what part of your body does the truth protect? Your gut. The vitals, as the old would say. Your vitals are protected with the belt. Okay, you've got to have it. The belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Now, the other passage that goes with this starts it this way. He says, put on the helmet of salvation. I like to do it from the other one because I can see the body better. But I'm going to go with this one right now. Next, he says, the breastplate of righteousness. What part does that cover? Your heart. Okay. So the righteousness of Christ should protect the seat of your emotions, the seat of your personhood. It isn't that you think, therefore you am, like Descartes said. I think, therefore I am. We live in our minds that way rather than in the whole person that God created, seated in our hearts. And that righteousness of Christ is meant to protect us. So when that arrow comes, you always do this. Oh, there you go again. And you got that kind of hurt you've always carried, that kind of, I always blow it here. I really don't like that about myself. And you get on down that road And immediately what he's saying is, hey, you've got the breastplate of the righteousness of Christ over you. Not that you ever did it right. That is not the place you defend yourself. You don't start down the path saying, well, I didn't mean it that way. You're in the argument right then. You've already left the path, justifying motive, instead of, I have over my heart the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nothing can come against his righteousness. Do I need to repent of something? Holy Spirit, show me. But it will not come from without. It'll come from within. If it is from without, it's because you haven't been listening. And when you listen, it'll be rectified again and made straight. We all make mistakes, and we all need to forgive one another. So that's part of the relating properly. But the breastplate of righteousness gives us a healthy place for all interactions, because we're recognizing, even in ourselves and in one another, that it's his righteousness that protects us. We're not to shred anybody else's. We're to build it up and shine it, okay? Because it's Christ's righteousness they're wearing. Breastplate of righteousness. And your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. So next was the feet. It's said another way, to put on, to be shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's shoes. Okay, these are boots. If you were a warrior, they'd be boots that had mail inside of them so that the arrows wouldn't hurt your shins. Okay, they'd be strong. These are not Indian moccasins. These are strong so that when you walk and you step on nails or burning coals, you're not going to be burned. Why? Because you're prepared with what the truth is and how it applies. The preparation of the gospel of peace is that God has been reconciled to man through his Son, Jesus Christ. The message is for everyone who has ever lived and wherever they live. That is our message. And what he did is enough. And God cares for them. And we're prepared to speak that even at our own cost, in terms of what it might cost us in speaking it. We're prepared. Our feet, which are tender and need to move. You can be all ready for battle. You can be all dressed up for the snow. Think of that one. And not put your shoes on. Your children, forget it. They're out there for 1 minute. The shoes are very important. Every detail's covered here. And the walking, the part of us that actually moves and is quick to move and move it both into battle and to stand in the battle, is being prepared with knowing this applied knowledge of the gospel of peace, prepared to apply it and move in it. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So this shield is a big battle shield. It's the body shield in the Greek, the one that they would hold up and you could, when the flaming arrows were coming, you could do this and stop them from hitting you. So it's not that you're the one shooting arrows. There's no sense here of saying load up your little quiver and put a lot of good Bible verses in there because you're going to really need them in battle. Isn't that what we think? Get your bow ready, string it up really tight. That should be, you know, how many things you've memorized and how well you're doing with your Bible study. We equip ourselves with other things, thinking that we're going to be the good warrior. The warrior in this one is totally protected by what God has done against the lies and the schemes of the evil one, and prepared with a gospel of peace. A warrior whose preparation is peace. Such a very opposite. There's a defensive mode, and there's a defensive mode with the shield. The sword's coming. But the truth is being made manifest with this preparation of gospel. Equipped with truth, protected with the righteousness of God. Then he leads us to this. Take the helmet of salvation. Where does it go? The head. The seat of the intellect. The will. Choices. The way our thought processes go. The way that we categorize truth. What we emphasize, one thing over another, all of that is in here. That's why I'm saying underneath this helmet is what? Put on the mind of Christ. Think on what's lovely, pure, and holy. Don't let trash go in. Take trash out. Don't revisit arguments over and over in your mind. Let them go. Say, Lord, I cannot make peace of that. I trust you to make peace of this. I will not be tripped up with the schemes of the evil one to participate in dialoguing inside my head in some other reality. We are very tempted in this today, more than ever, because we see so many other realities constantly, visibly, with television and movies and all the way that we dress. It's completely very in our face. So to keep focused and covered over this mind, the mind that can relate and make speech, can symbolize, made in the image of God, goes a helmet of salvation. This is what we're remembering. I am saved. Not I am, therefore I'm great. I am saved by what Christ has done. My mind is protected by the truth of what he has gifted in himself through his death. It cost him everything for us to be free. He wants us to seize it. But we're not valued. We are not loved more for doing well or doing worse. We are just loved. You can't add to God's love because it's encompassing. So salvation over our heads, this helmet that protects you, all that constant thinking back and retracking and retracing and re-arguing, and you seem forever caught. This is a freeing thing. The weight of this helmet is not something that's going to knock your head over sideways. It's not like David and Saul when he put on Saul's equipment and it was way too big. He couldn't wear any of that. He had to go with his faith in God and what he was good at. But he was going to go into a battle. This is a withstanding the battle. We are to put this on, but it isn't to be too heavy. It just fits perfectly. If you have a helmet that doesn't fit right, have you ever worn your big brother's football helmet or little brother's or something? They used to be made out of pigskin, and they were really heavy. I don't know. They're made better now, but they used to be big. As a kid putting it on, it was like, whoa. And it would move sideways. It had padding on the inside. And it would have been more dangerous than not having the helmet on because your neck would have been out of whack. This helmet fits. It's the gospel, your salvation, fit over the mind of Christ that he's given you, over the salvation of your soul. This salvation fits and equips us to stand. So mentally, we are in the game because of what Christ did for us. And we keep counting on that. We keep walking in that. It is what gives us the security we need to stand. Revisit these now. The mind is protected by that salvation. The heart by righteousness of Christ. The belt of truth so that everything can move and be of all protected in your vitals. Your feet prepared with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith. I believe in God, and I believe in his son, Jesus Christ. There has never been a time on the Apostles' Creed in a time of dire need for me did not say it. To say it aloud or step aside and make a good confession for Christ Jesus in spiritual battle. Not for anyone else, but aloud. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And you go through and you make the declaration and stand. And that shield of faith will protect you from all those little darts coming of lies and conniptions and things to start patterns that bring destruction. We have that to stand in. Faith is a verb. It isn't a resting thing. You're still wielding it and moving it. You must lift it and put it in place. Faith becomes stronger with exercise. We believe this, we believe a little more. Make your prayers. Notice your prayers in that. Are we praying according to faith or not? And pray according to faith and ask for faith where you gap it, but move in it. And you stand behind that faith. And last, he has the sword of the Word of God, which is the Spirit of God. Now, this is not just a little thing plugged away like arrows. There is a weapon. It's also used, as we wield it, a two-edged sword. Sharp, is said about the Word of God, able to separate mind from soul, the intentions of the heart. So the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will remind you, should you be in the Word? Yes, you should be in the Word, because these are the very words of God. You can't have the mind of Christ and not be in the Word. You have to be in the Word. It isn't just saying, I'm just going to apply it to this, just as a separate precept. It's the very words of our Father. So when we put those in and we move in the sword of the Spirit, this is not just the Spirit of the Word of God. This is the Holy Spirit of Jesus, who was sent at Pentecost, who speaks through the Word of God. So when we say, and we saw this in Jesus' temptations, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. It is written, you should not tempt the Lord your God. He quoted Scripture back. He used the sword, and he used it appropriately. He knew how to use it in battle. And what was his temptation? If you are the Son of God. See, Satan was, he'd be sort of thinking, I wonder if I really am at this point. I'm a carpenter's son. I've just come out here. John's doing a great job in the river. Look at all the people. In the natural, you could think, how am I equipped for this? In the natural, he could have. He didn't in the natural. He knew who he was. But, you know, there was something there that Satan would have schemed to hit him on that one. His most human part, he was fully human as well as fully the Son of God. So that's where his scheme was devised. Let's get him to question it, to question who he is. That's why I'm making the parallel. Don't question whose you are. It's the most important thing about you. And you need to put this armor on to protect whose you are and whose righteousness and salvation you're wearing and how beloved you are. You never earned it to start with. This battle has nothing to do with earning. It's his, and it was promised, and so I wield that. And get ready with, he'll show you where to poke the sword, and he'll have the exact words from the sword. He alone knows what's needed in the battle. Walking in the Spirit is necessary to wield it. Now we'll read the end. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. This means general and specific. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You all, in your blessings, even of your food, pray for the church around the world. Pray for all the saints, because we're all under the same temptations, he writes in Corinthians. All of us have the common temptations. So we're praying for the building up of the church everywhere. And staying alert. Our conversation is not arguing this battle we're in. Our conversation is to our Father. We're constantly, this temple, this aroma that's going up, this incense that was pictured in the tabernacle, the prayers of the saints, is going up out of his people through the armor. You can't stop that. That's going up constantly in all situations. Praying, the prayer matters. The relationship is strengthened. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Again, it's noted that he didn't ask for his own protection. He didn't ask for comfort in being imprisoned. He asked for boldness. This is so characteristic of the early church, to pray that the real work gets done. The very reason we're still here. If it isn't for that, y'all, we may as well be on the other side. We're engaged in a huge, huge life battle for souls of people of whom we are reflecting and standing. It isn't just about the work we do outside. It's the work of being a temple of the Holy Spirit, to offer praise and to pray, to be a priest who intercedes for others and trustworthy, to carry the burdens of the Lord with him, to be his friend, to be in the garden with him and not go to sleep, to be someone he can talk with and depend on and send in for a special mission, because our hearts have been beating with his about this thing that concerns him. Prayer's about hearing what concerns God. It isn't just, this is my concern, do it. This is my concern, do it. It's, here it is, Lord. Now that I may have your peace, now what's up? Now what? And how do we move to the next thing? Being joined in that praying. It's extremely important. We could have a whole year on prayer. But this is important, both the general and the specific. And giving thanks when the Lord has answered, to walk in that. Tychicus, my dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. So this letter is being carried by this Tychicus. Ty's carrying the letter. And he is going to tell him what's going on with Paul, what it's really like in the circumstances. Maybe it's because this letter's read before it's even sent out the door. Maybe there's censoring. I don't know. We nothing wrong here about not much you could take. There's nothing's against Rome. It's just religious writing. But at any rate, he doesn't labor in this that the Holy Spirit is writing about the eternal and the truth. This is a personal note on the end. This really happened. This man Paul really lived. So did Ty. So did the church he's going back to with it. This really happened. And these things are eternal even for us and the living church today. We're a part of that church too. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Favor to you who love the Lord. And all faith comes from him. All truth comes from him. And peace. Lord Jesus Christ, we commit back to you our year. We thank you for it. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for Susan playing and Chrissy leading and the steering committee leading well and the small group leaders leading well. And Lord, I thank you that we showed up. And most of all, I thank you that you and your Holy Spirit walked among us and taught us well. We praise you, Jesus. Impress these things in our heart. Sharpen our swords. Shine up our shields. Refit us with that helmet, Lord, if we need it. Cover our vitals, Lord, with your righteousness and belt us with your truth. We pray this, Lord, with feet prepared to tell your gospel and to live it out in peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.